It's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker today. And, you know, the Christian Missionary Alliance has missionary as its middle name. And there's a reason for that, because we have a message that we are sharing with Canadians, and that is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and on mission for Christ all the time. And that's our goal, that's our passion, is to reach out to this lost and dying world with the gospel of Christ and share Christ with as many people as possible. And so when people from our Ottawa community of pastors and leaders and our fellowship here decide that they want to go across the globe and do ministry elsewhere as missionaries, we kind of go like, yes, more people going out into the field, and we want to support them, encourage them. And just because I know Dave and Joyce, because I meet with them as a pastor, and they've been pastoring in this community for a long time, doesn't mean you guys do. And so we've invited them here. He said he had one opportunity to come. And Joyce, would you just stand up so that people can see you? And there she is. Dave's going to stand up in a minute and share God's word with us. And so they're going to tell you what they're doing and what they're going to be doing, I should say. But let me just tell you what they have been doing. They've been ministering at Chinese Alliance Church for the last 15 years. And Dave was working with the youth, and then he switched to adult ministries. And so now they are switching to the other side of the globe. So come on up, Dave. So glad you could join us today.
Good morning, Eastgate Alliance Church. Excited to be here this morning. I'm very grateful that Pastor Bill gave up his pulpit this morning. I know that we were talking about date availabilities, and I said I had one date left in the next few months, and I'm all tangled up here. And so he gratefully gave up the date for me. We're glad to be here to share with you what God is doing in our family's life. It is an exciting morning as well for you as a church as you celebrate Canada Day and you welcome in two new families that your church is sponsoring. As Bill mentioned, our family is on our way to Cambodia, and it is certainly sometimes seems still very surreal to us. And actually, in about a month's time, we just booked our ticket to go to Cambodia a few days ago, so the reality of it has really sunk in for us. And even as these last few days here in Ottawa, with this extreme heat that we've been having, we jokingly say, God is preparing us for the weather that we'll face in Cambodia. Give you a little understanding. In Cambodia, the coolest month of the year is January, with an average temperature of 26 degrees Celsius. When we are there in our January, we will be thinking of you when you have your minus 26 degrees Celsius. I am very glad to be leaving that, honestly. You join with me. I'm going to say a word of prayer before we come into God's word this morning. Father, we come before you, and we desperately long for your Spirit to come and speak to us and to show us the things that you want us to hear and move in our lives so that we can truly embrace your heart for the lost, so that we can truly understand how much you desire for this world to come to know you as the Lord and Savior. So may you open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears this morning as we look into your word and we hear stories. Lord, we invite your presence here amongst us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was in 2010, I was in Turkey. I was attending a general assembly meeting over there with many of our alliance pastors. And I remember I was sitting there one night and I was listening to a missionary share, and Cecilia Chung was her name, and she was a missionary to Niger. Years earlier, Cecilia and her husband, Ace, had left Edmonton. He was a successful doctor. She had just finished her MBA. They had a few children, and they had mentioned that they had what you would call the American dream or Canadian dream sort of life, but God called them into missions. Many years later, I was in Turkey listening to her share again. And as she was talking and sharing about the ministry that they were doing in Niger, I suddenly heard God speak to me. And I'm not the type of person who very often hears sort of audible voices from God. That's not how God often speaks to me. But I say in that moment, I heard him talk as if he was standing right next to me. And these are the words I heard him say to me in my ear. He said, David, if I call you, will you go? Meaning, if I were to call you to serve me in some way, shape, or form overseas, would you go? Now, I would love to say that in the moment I did the super spiritual thing and I ran to the front and dropped on my knees and said, yes, God, I will go. But I didn't. I chickened out. What I did was I took out my journal, and I should have brought it this morning because I was looking at it a few days ago. I took out my journal and I started to write something. And I wrote the words, God, if I call you, will you go? Underneath, I wrote the words, I surrender, dot, dot, dot. And I put, but. And then I went on to list a bunch of reasons why I would not go and a bunch of excuses. And that was how I responded to God in that moment when I heard him calling me. That was 8 years ago. Over the years, God has continued to work in our hearts, in the life of my wife and I, in our family's life. And he has continued to push this idea of missions in our hearts. And as we talked about missions over the years, especially coming back from Turkey, the one thing that we realized that was holding us back from actually going and doing something for God if he were to call us was that we were way too comfortable. We had a house, we had two children, we had a car or two cars or something like that. Life was good. Yeah, it was like that white picket fence sort of life that we all dream about, don't we? My ministry at church was good. Everything was comfortable, and it would be very hard to leave that comfort. Brothers and sisters, what I realized in that moment, and I realized throughout the years, is that unless we truly embrace God's heart for the lost, we're not going to be willing to leave the comforts that we have here. And over the years, God desperately has been doing that in our lives, in my family's life. He has been opening our heart to the lost. He's been showing us more and more of how much he loves this world, but so much more, how much he loves it when those who do not know him as the Lord and Savior come and accept him and receive him as the Lord and Savior. And what I realized as I was pastoring in all those years in Ottawa, at Ottawa Chinese Lions Church, I realized that, you know what? I loved the church. I loved God's people. I loved my congregation. But I did not love the loss of this world like God loved the loss of this world. I loved my comforts more than this desire to see the world come to know him as the Lord and Savior. And I firmly believe, brothers and sisters in church, that until we truly embrace that idea, we truly embrace not only God's love for us, but God's love for this world, until we embrace that we're not going to be willing to step outside our comfort zones, whether that means step across the street to our neighbors, whether that means give sacrificially to God's work of missions, or whether that means to go serve him overseas, until we truly understand God's heart for the lost and embrace it and want to live it out, then we're not going to be willing to go and do the things that he wants us to be doing in being his witnesses. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of God's love. And I invite us to turn with our Bibles into Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we come across a series of stories. We have three parables in this. One of this is a parable of the lost sheep. The other is the parable of the lost coin. And then finally, we have what is the parable of the lost son. In these three stories, we see a little bit of a parallel with what's going on. We see, first of all, this idea that there's something that is lost. And then we see the idea that something lost needs to be found. But one of the greatest things we see in these stories is this idea of how great of rejoicing there is when that which is lost is found. This morning, I want us to focus on a little bit more the third of those three stories, the story of the lost son, or what we more commonly probably know as the story of the prodigal son. Let me read it for us in Luke chapter 15. Verses 11, and we're only going to read up to verse 24 for now. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." To recap the story, what we basically have going on for us here this morning is that you have a story of a father and a son. The son, he takes all his inheritance given to him by his father, he sells it off, and he takes all the money, and he goes off. And it says he goes off on wild living. It even, in some translation, is a little bit more explicit and says he spends his money on prostitutes. And so you sort of understand what kind of life the son has been living. And he finds himself in a position in life that is so bad where he dreams about eating the food that the pigs are eating. Can you imagine that? He has no options left, he realizes. He's hit the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. So he decides, "I'm going to go back to my father." He's hoping that maybe I can beg my father for some sort of mercy. I imagine as he comes back to his father, he's worried. I don't know about you. I would be worried if I was in his situation, thinking, "Wow, is my father going to be mad at me? Am I going to face some sort of punishment, perhaps, from my father?" Perhaps you can imagine that as well. Imagine yourself in the place of this son, or think about when you're a child, you did something wrong, right? And your parents are coming home, and you know you're going to face your parents, and you have a little bit of fear and trepidation, thinking, "Wow, you know, I'm in big trouble now." Well, this is where the son was. And so the son, he comes home, he sees the father, and he believes that he's going to face some sort of wrath from the father. He's ready to beg for mercy, to even work as a slave or servant of his father. But here's my favorite part of the story, and you see it up here in the PowerPoint. Favorite part is there's no wrath from the father at all. In verse 20 it says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion." He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I want us to fully embrace what's going on here. This imagery. The son coming home thinking he's in big trouble. And this father, instead, seeing him off in the distance, running up, full of compassion, and embracing him. Running to him, not just so he can get there sooner to punish him a little bit quicker. But no, with love and compassion, he comes there. He clothed him, not in any sort of clothing, but it says in his best robes, in the best clothes that he had. He put a ring on his finger to signify some sort of authority that's been given to the son. And he throws this big party with a fattened calf for his son. And all this paints for us this picture of this father who just embraces and welcomes back the son who is lost. The great love and heart of this father for those who are lost. By embracing the son right there in the public in front of everyone, the father was saying to everyone around there, "I forgive my son. I hold no more judgment against him, for he has come home to me." If we jump to the very last words of this passage, of the story there in verse 32, it summarizes it by saying, "But we had to celebrate and be glad, because a brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The father wants to celebrate because that which was lost and is found. And that speaks profoundly of the heart of God, our Father, for us. We sang so many songs this morning. I loved it, about God's heart and God's love. And so often we sing those songs and we embrace it for ourselves. And that's one of the greatest messages God has given to me this year, that God loves me. But let us remember, as God loves us, he loves the lost out there just as much. And there is great joy in his heart when the lost find the way back to him as their father. This morning I ask you, do you truly understand the love of God, and particularly that towards the lost? We worship this God that loves the world so much that, as we heard Pastor Bill say this morning, that he gave his son Jesus Christ. In John 3:16 it says, and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but what? to save the world through him. This is the heart of our Father. I believe that when we truly understand this, and we can truly begin to love this world, the loss of this world like God loves it, when that happens, we can't help it but some way be involved in this thing that God calls a great commission, to being witnesses to this world. Where Matthew 28, Jesus commands to his disciples at the very end, before he goes away, he says to them that, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Basically commanding them to go into this world, to go into the places that you're living, wherever you are, and make those who don't know Christ yet, Christ followers. This going looks different for each one of us. This morning we're reminded in Canada Day that we live in a nation that says he shall have dominion from sea to sea. In our denomination, as we talk about missions, we talk about God's work across the world. We also talk about what is called the fifth S, the sea to sea, this region of Canada in which we all live, and the need and desire to bring God's gospel message to those amongst those that we live in as well. When we embrace God's heart for the lost, we can't help it but to be involved in some way, shape, or form in that. And for my family, what that looks like is that we have heard God calling us that we're going to leave our life here in Ottawa, the life that we were so comfortable with, the life in which we have been pastors here at the church for 15 years, and to go overseas to Cambodia and to serve our people there. And I want to invite my wife to come up. She's going to share a little bit about our journey and some of the things that we will be doing that's ahead of us for our journey. I think she's going to grab one of the mics here.
So next month, actually in exactly a month, we will be flying to Cambodia, and we will start our ministry there, and we'll be living in Phnom Penh for the first year. And we'll be serving as full-time international workers with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. This photo that we're using is our official prayer card. However, this next photo is probably what shows more of our family's personality and what it's like. Jaden is our oldest. He's 11. Elizabeth is 9. And Josiah will be 7 next week. Today, we wanted to share a little bit about our story, about how God led us to, from our life in Ottawa to our soon new home in Cambodia. We also wanted to share about what our ministry will be along the way. We hope that you will also be brought into understanding the heart of God for the lost. And we hope you'll be challenged in some way to reach the lost wherever God has put you. As we think about our current journey, the phrase that keeps coming to our minds is trust and obey. Our journey really has been one about trusting and in God and obeying him the best as we can, even though it didn't make sense at the time. But this journey for myself has been a long time coming. I actually personally felt called into international work when I was a child. And then when I was in grade 7, during a missions conference weekend, Helen and Joseph Lee were the guest speakers at my home church, and Helen was sharing about her kids and how they were living as missionary kids and the work they were doing in Guatemala, and that was when I first heard God call my life into international work. The way that it all happened still amazes us as God orchestrated everything together and put things in our path to lead us to where we are right now. Actually, over the last couple of years, we started to have a greater burden to love others in tangible ways. And there was a stirring in both our hearts separately. And until one day, as we're discussing different ministries and what's happening in our church and where our heart was for God's people, we just blurted it out because it happened completely separately. We both had these feelings, but we weren't sure how to tell each other. We're like, I think God's calling us into something different, out of our comfort zone. And so last summer, we took a step of faith, and we talked with some leaders in our denomination at the Joint Missions Convention that the Chinese churches have, and we actually started out with asking Joanne Beach to pray with us. She's the head of Justice and Compassion Ministries for the CNMA. And as we were sharing our story with her, she just said, crazy idea, but have you thought about Cambodia? And we're like, nope. We don't know anything about Cambodia other than Tomb Raider was filmed there and Angelina Jolie has some adopted children from there. But then she suggested that we talk to Donna and Brem France, who are the head of global ministries of CNMA. And so the next day we did. We had a conversation with them, completely separate, no precursors from Joanne. And as we were sharing, again, they were saying, have you ever thought of Cambodia? And we just laughed and we were like, well, Joanne mentioned it yesterday. So twice in 2 days, totally separate conversations. The next day we actually went to the workshop that had to do with Arab ministries. But before the speaker, the main speaker came up, an announcement was made. Oh, we have a missionary coming up to give an update on their ministry in Cambodia. And so we were like looking at each other and we just like, okay, God, we hear you. We will pray about it. A few weeks later, when we went home, we were at a worship team summer end barbecue, and in walks our friend wearing a shirt that said Angkor Wat, which is in Cambodia. It's actually the famous temple complex that is on their national flag. All this spurred us on to prayerfully consider international ministries and potentially serving in Cambodia. Before 11 months ago, we honestly didn't know anything about the country. But what may have come to mind to many people are the beautiful temples of Angkor Wat and all over the country. But others may think about the tragedies that have happened there with the war. And previous to 1975, Cambodia was a growing and thriving Southeast Asian country. And then the Khmer Rouge overthrew the existing government. During their 4 years of reign, the Khmer Rouge tried to return Cambodia back to a rural farming society. And in the name of social reform, currency, religion, education was eradicated, and even medicine was forbidden. And many were massacred. It is estimated that between 2 to 3 million people died during those 4 years. And today, nearly 40 years later, Cambodia is still rebuilding. Part of that rebuilding is a rebuilding of the Christian presence there in the midst of deep Buddhist influence. There is a saying, to be Cambodian is to be Buddhist.
As we're being sent to Cambodia, or asked to go to Cambodia by a denomination, because Cambodia is a nation that desperately needs to know that there is a God out there that loves them, that is waiting to welcome them back into his arms if they choose to turn back to it, just like the father in our story, the prodigal son, did to the lost son who came back home. Our founder of the CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, had this quote, infamous quote that's often said, talking about our denomination or the movement. He says, this movement stands for a commitment to reach the most neglected fields, to avoid the beaten tracks of other laborers, to press on to the regions beyond, instead of building upon another man's foundation, to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named. And Christ definitely still needs to be named in Cambodia, specifically amongst the Vietnamese people there. We are being asked to go and to serve amongst the Vietnamese people as church planters amongst the undocumented population that live there. Many of these people in Cambodia are among some of the very poorest people in Cambodia, and they live in extreme poverty. Cambodia as a nation is part of what we call the Asian Spice region of our Christian Missionary Alliance, in which we divide our world into five different regions. It covers areas such as China, Thailand, Vietnam. And within the Vietnamese in Cambodia are identified by our denomination as an unreached people group. And what does it really mean? An unreached people group is defined by as saying that there are less than 2% evangelical believers within that people group. In Cambodia, there's only 0.017% evangelical Christians among the Vietnamese in Cambodia. To give you perspective, in Canada, that number is 47 times higher.
So our connection to the Vietnamese community actually is through an existing ministry that reaches out to the children. The kids are tutored in basic education so that they can get into better schools, and snacks are provided. And often we send home simple snacks like instant noodle packs so that they will just have a meal at least once that day. We hope that they will get to know God's love through our words and actions. Because if things don't change for them, the cycle of poverty will be repeated generation after generation. A year ago, we were told that there were very few adults among the 60 kids each Sunday at church. But now, there are actually 3 adult Bible study groups that meet regularly. And recently, there were 11 people baptized, many of whom were adults. One of the most exciting things is that the leaders in the Cambodian National Church, there are some leaders such as Farum, Pastor Farum, who want to support the Vietnamese church in Siem Reap. And this is exciting because in Cambodia, there is still racial tensions between the Cambodians and Vietnamese. But praise God that he is breaking down those walls in the Christian community. The missionaries there tell us that this alone is truly a miracle of God and that they never would have expected this.
Our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, we have been in Cambodia for just about 95 years. And it started with Robert Jaffrey in 1923 sending the first missionaries into Phnom Penh and Battambang, Cambodia. It is estimated that after about 50 years of ministry in 1974, there were about 10,000 Christians in Phnom Penh. But it said after 5 years of what happened with the Khmer Rouge, that population greatly was diminished. And by the end of their reign, there was only about 200 Christians left in the country. But we praise God that he's beginning to do a work in Cambodia, and the number of believers has doubled in the nation over the last 7 years. In 2018, there are estimated 300,000 Christians in Cambodia. But that number is still very little amongst the Vietnamese in Cambodia. It's a very slow-growing work to go in there. And as I think about the work in Cambodia and reaching the Vietnamese, for me in my life, it's almost a story that goes full circle. Today, we celebrate Canada's 151st birthday. We celebrate the freedom that this country offers. And it was about 39 years ago that my family, we left Vietnam in hopes of trying to find freedom, and we left as refugees there. And so this morning, even standing here and watching this family being up there, I honestly just get chills and recognizing that 39 years ago, that was our family in front of another church that didn't know who we were, that didn't speak Vietnamese, that just loved on us like God wanted them to. And so yeah, I'm happy to see Eastgate be a part of the story that's going there. But our family, as we left, I was born in Ho Chi Minh City. And our family, we left Vietnam. Ho Chi Minh City is about 300 kilometers away from Phnom Penh. And as our family left Vietnam on the boats, and we were basically seeking out a better life. We were seeking out some sort of life. But the honest truth is we have already had found the greatest life that was. My family had found life in Jesus Christ while we were still in Vietnam. You see, my grandparents, they had come to faith through the work of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Vietnam. They had come to faith through missionaries who had come to Vietnam, who had risked their lives and gave their lives to bring a gospel message to people that they knew nothing about. And their grandparents passed that faith down to my parents, who eventually passed it on to us. Today, Vietnam is an amazing story of how missions works. Over 1 million people in Vietnam call themselves a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. The largest family of Christian Missionary Alliance Church believers in the world exists in Vietnam. Missions matters for me because if it wasn't for missionaries, my family would not have come to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And I stand up here, I'm a proponent of missions, because mission works, and I'm proof that missions works. And while missions has worked in Vietnam, it's been a very slow work amongst the Vietnamese in Cambodia. And God wants all of us here to be a part of his work of reaching the lost, whether that's across the world or right home here in our backyards. Romans 10:14 is a verse that perhaps you've heard many times in your life, and it says this: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Maybe this morning as you sit here, God has been calling you at some point in your life to serve him in some way to reach the lost. Maybe he's calling you to step across the street to reach that neighbor. Maybe he's calling you to hop on a plane and go across the world in some way to serve him. For the both of us, part of our stories of hearing God speak to us to missions was actually as we sat there and we listened to the story of missionaries sharing their journey. And maybe this morning, even God is spurring some of you on this morning to take a step of faith into missions. To be honest, when I think about our journey coming ahead of us, and I think about it too much, it scares the bejeebies out of me. When I think about what is to come in Cambodia for our family, the unknowns that are there, stepping out of my comfort zones. Cambodia, honestly, is not going to be the safest place in the world, but it's going to be the best place because it's where we believe God wants us to be. There are so many ways that we can be involved in missions in the world today. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a church planter. Honestly, there are parts of the world that we cannot send pastors or missionaries to because it's closed access places. And these places, we need teachers, we need business owners, we need people who have many other skills to come and to do the work there. We need people to step into the offices and the buildings of here in our nation's capitals and to be witnesses for God there. If God isn't calling you to go, maybe he's calling you to support those who will go. What would your part in this be to support those who perhaps are being called to go?
Our CNMA vision prayer says this: Oh God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Brothers and sisters in Eastgate, you are one of 435 CNMA churches here in Canada committed to making disciples and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada is a movement of God's people who mobilize to bring access to Jesus to least reached peoples. We are a family of churches committed to this biblical endeavor through prayer, through releasing and sending of people in our network, and through giving. When we look at our world, we have made a commitment to completing the Great Commission by going to the least unreached people groups around the globe. We go to the hard places and to the most spiritually neglected people groups with Jesus' message of hope, providing access to the gospel. Globally, you will find about 5 million people attending Alliance churches on any given weekend in over 80 countries. One of the most exciting developments is that 37 of those countries are also sending out international workers, and we have the privilege of partnering with workers from those countries as we reach out to the least reached people on the planet. In short, we are a global pioneering missionary movement. Our role in this is in the Asian Spice region to bring access to Jesus by reaching out to the undocumented Vietnamese immigrants in Cambodia.
That's a journey that God has been taking our family upon and the journey that we're heading towards. We deeply covered that some of you will be partners with us as we go upon this, both in prayer and in just hearing our story and supporting for us. We thank you for that you've given us an opportunity this morning to share our story, that you have listened to our story. Afterwards, we're going to be outside. We have a table. We have some prayer cards. We'd love to talk to you a little bit more, share our stories. You can sign up for our list as well. If you want to look at ways that you can support us beyond prayer and financially, we can talk about that as well as out there, give you more information. But we just thank you, Eastgate Alliance Church. We thank you for your heart for God's people, your heart to be involved and to do God's work, and just for allowing us to be a part of your family this morning to share our journey. God bless.